topic is ERP implementation methodology. Mostly, that's what I'm going to talk about. And you mentioned about my company, Velasio, where Bob also works with me. And I lead one of the ERP that we implement. So first of all, what is Velasio? Velasio implements business solutions. All the Microsoft Dynamics products. There are a few products like Dynamics AX, one time used to call. Now we call it Dynamics 365 Financials and Operations. Dynamics NAB, now it is known as Dynamics 365 Business Central. That's the team I lead. Then there is Dynamics GP, Dynamics SL. Bob is with the Dynamics GP team, working with that team for how many years?
For that team, well, I've been doing GP since 87.
Okay.
And we do NetSuite, which is not a Microsoft product. Right. So.
And we also implement Oracle's NetSuite, okay, and Microsoft's CRM, which is now known as CE. And we also have other practices in the company like business intelligence, cloud is a big thing for us as well. So in general, that's what we do. We are a consulting firm, and I'm implementing, as you mentioned, the Dynamics NAB, which is now D365 Business Central since 2003. Okay, and if I get too bored, raise your hand. Okay, because it's supposed to be technical, right? Okay, before I talk about the ERP implementation methodology, we all need to know that there is a digital transformation happening. For some company, it's already happened, and if it has not happened to your company, it is going to happen, right? And what do we mean by digital transformation? Any idea? Meaning is that your information will be digitally stored somewhere, not on the paper, and something like computer will analyze that data and will give you suggestion. And as a company leader, as a company manager, we will depend on those digital data and will rely on those decisions much more than what we used to do in the past. In the past, we used to use our experience to make a decision. But with this digital world, the computers can make a decision much faster, better, right, and more accurate. And you have heard this terminology called artificial intelligence, AI in short, which is the same thing as digital transformation. The data is there, and artificial intelligence will crunch the data and help us to make better decisions. And most probably all of you heard that IBM Watson, right? So IBM Watson is a good example of artificial intelligence that is well known. And we go to a doctor's office, right? What do? They ask some question and we give that answer. They check our blood pressure. And according to the blood pressure, they make some decision. The doctor gives us some test to do, some blood test, maybe some x-ray and something like that. And then what happens? Somebody looks at that x-ray, and with their experience, they say that that's most probably the case, and according to that, they give a prescription. In the digital world, what will happen? Doctor has an experience of 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 patients, right? And their studies. But in the digital world, the information is for millions. It's the same data, same input, but the computer will look at and see that what worked, what prescription worked, and then it will suggest. At the beginning, the suggestion will come through a doctor, and doctor will say, yeah, that makes sense. I'm going to go give the same result or same suggestion, and computer is giving the same suggestion. All great. Once we'll see that you are practically from home, you are going to give some information and you'll get doctor's suggestion, okay? In fact, you may know or you may get surprised that in China, 15% doctors now uses Watson to find out what should be the prescription. Okay, we are not doing that part. We have a lot of restrictions, but they're doing it. Another thing is that analyzing all this big data was a challenge a few years back. When I say challenge, meaning that it used to take a lot of time to process. You may heard about quantum computing, right? New kind of computer. And that new kind of computer can process data extremely fast. Google announced not too long ago that with the best and greatest supercomputer that we have, to do something which would take 10 years, with a new quantum computer, it will take 3 hours. So if you think that way, that the processing power is going so much better, so this whole digital transformation is going to rise very, very rapidly. And we have to prepare for that. Even though I'm going to talk more about ERP, the reason I'm talking about, because I'm very, I want to let everybody know that you have to be aware of artificial intelligence. You have to think about how that is going to change our life, okay? And with this power of processing, we are already seeing automated cars, right? It will be in few years, most probably all of us are going to drive a automated car. Even, in fact, there is a prediction that after 2029, all new cars most probably made as an automated car. Not too far, right? Less than a decade. Whether we use that, that's a different story, but all the new cars will be automated. Okay. So, and Microsoft is a big part of it. They are investing a lot in this digital transformation. And one of the big thing about the digital transformation is the data. I mentioned that, okay? And the data is now everywhere. The data that we are going to use, we do not know whether it's in Europe or whether it's in California or whether in Australia, right? But with this new technology, you heard about 5G technology and all those kind of thing, digital transformation, we talked about, now we are going to see the effect. And Microsoft is a big part of that. So I'm going to move to the ERP implementation methodology back, because that's what I known as for, right? Bob thinks that I'm the expert on the ERP implementation, and that's how my company promotes me as one of the most valuable person for the ERP implementation in the Dynamics world. So I mentioned that cloud, and Velocio is a new cloud leader, meaning that in the past, when we used to implement any kind of ERP, it used to be on a server, which is on a company's house, right? Or in a data center, not too far from that place. But now, with Microsoft, with Amazon, and all those things gave us the opportunity that we don't have to have those server machines. They host the software in the cloud. We just use it, just like a lease, right? And we are doing that every day. You use a cell phone, and all the apps that you use in the cell phone, they're all hosted in the cloud. Sometimes we just do not know, okay? So that's another transformation happening in the digital world, okay? And 86% of CEOs consider digital their number one priority. That is according to the PwC's CEO survey. So everybody knows that, and that's their main thing. 80% US CEOs think AI, artificial intelligence, will significantly change the way they do business in the next 5 years. Okay? I'm going to talk about ERP implementation methodology, but ERP will change drastically in the next few years. Right now, most of the ERPs does not have any artificial intelligence built in, but the new ERPs are now trying to use artificial intelligence. Okay? So we will see a huge change in the information technology, the way we use software now versus how we are going to do after 5 years. And Microsoft's mission is this: empower every person and every organization on the planet to achieve more. That's what the goal is, Microsoft's goal. And the way Microsoft is doing that is making everything digital. And the CEO of Microsoft, Satya Nadella, says, "The dream has always been how we can transform how work is done." That's it for digital transformation. Let me go to what I do. My team at Velasio implements an ERP called Microsoft Dynamics. Recently, the name changed, and it is now known as Microsoft Dynamics 365 Business Central. And you can see that there are two logos. One is white background and one is the blue background. So you can see both of them, but if you see, this is really the logo, okay? And what it really means? It really means it's connecting the whole world to an ERP. That's what all it means. It's connected. And as I mentioned, that Microsoft has multiple ERP, and by the way, most of you already know, ERP stands for Enterprise Resource Planning, right? And Microsoft has multiple ERP at this moment, but they are in the process of really moving into only two ERPs. It's already announced, and it is going to be effective in the near future. So the new names of the new ERP from the Microsoft world is Dynamics 365. For the enterprise companies, it's called Dynamics 365 Finance and Operation. In short, FNO, that's how you'll know. And for the small and mid-sized companies, in short, we call SMB market, that is the Dynamics 365 Business Central, or D365 BC. Okay? It's two different ERP. They are not the same. They're two different. One is for enterprise companies, and one is for small to mid-sized companies. Now, obviously, implementation methodology for both of them could be very similar. And not only that, the ERP that my team implements, which is Dynamics 365 Business Central, because it's for small and mid-sized company, it could be implemented for a company whose revenue is $5 million. It could be implemented for a company whose revenue is $500 million. That means the implementation methodology is not going to be the same, right? Because for larger companies, it's more complex. For smaller companies, for startup companies, it is less complex. Okay? And today, I'm going to discuss more enterprise kind of implementation, meaning that it is little bit larger company, not a $2 million or $5 million company. Now, so what's the difference between...
Yeah, can you explain again like why a company would choose the enterprise version versus the small and medium? Like, where's the cutoff and what's the criteria?
Sure. Absolutely. So first of all, that this Dynamics 365 FNO, which I mentioned about enterprise business, it has lots of bells and whistles, meaning it has lots of functionality so that it can run every aspect of the business, every area, and they're more powerful also. It also requires lots of hardware, so whether it's in the cloud or in your server, okay? And it can support many users. When I say many users, thousands of users. On the other hand, the ERP, those are for small to mid-sized market. They are typically for up to 200 to 300 users. The sweet spot is practically between 25 to 100. That's where most of the companies, in fact, now these days, Microsoft is making it much simpler to use, much simpler to implement. So we are implementing even much smaller companies, which is 10 users, 15 users. But the difference is that how we implement, okay? There are two things. Which software I choose, right? It is definitely depends on the business. If it's a manufacturing company, their requirement is one kind. If it's a service business, their requirement is another, right? So Business Central, the core is the accounting package. Every ERP has that, okay? And on top of that, Business Central, Dynamics 365 BC has manufacturing functionality, distribution functionality, sales and receivables functionality, purchase order functionality, and service management functionality. On top of that, there are about 2,000 add-on, what we call, meaning that, say, the core ERP does not have functionality, another software vendor created some additional functionality to enhance that ERP. So there are about 2,000 plus additional add-on there in the market that you can implement to accommodate or to fulfill your company's requirement. Okay? Now, traditionally, Dynamics NAV was very popular for manufacturing and distribution companies. Now, with the addition of all those other add-ons, we are now implementing for service industries also, professional companies also, like accounting firms. Even companies like us, we are a professional company, right? We can use the same ERP, okay? Even internally, we use our big brother that we call in the Dynamics 365 FNO. Okay? Any other question on that side? Okay? And obviously, every company has a budget, right? So that's also part of the thing. What is the requirement? What is their budget? Bigger the software, it takes more time to implement, more money to implement, more hours to implement. So those are the factors that are there. And QuickBooks, everybody knows, right? That's also near me. And a very smaller company uses that with a very quick implementation. Okay? And Microsoft is working really hard to make this particular Business Central solution, even those companies that are using QuickBooks, they can implement this software as well. And that's why, not too long ago, we came up with two ways of implementing the same software. One we call a rapid implementation, and one is the legacy way, some people will call it waterfall methodology or traditional methodology. So even though I'm going to talk more about the traditional methodology, but I'll quickly mention what is the rapid implementation, because that might be very important for your customers or your company and things like that. Rapid implementation methodology is very successful for a few reasons. One, currently the new workforce is very computer literate, extremely computer literate. So when they come, they don't have to know how to use the computer. They are very intuitively, they can make a decision. Because they know how to use Google. Nobody trained them how to use Amazon.com, right? They figured that out. So now the new ERP are like that. They're very intuitive. So what we do in the rapid implementation, we practically show them, we do some work sessions, okay, and showing them how different functional area works. Rather than implementing, we just show them how those works, and the new workforce figures out how to use them for their small businesses. Rapid implementation works only for small businesses. It's not for large corporation or many, many users, right? When it comes to many users, it has to be implemented. Okay? So, rapid implementation was not there 5 years back or 6 years back. It is very, very common now these days, because the ERPs are way sophisticated and the workforce are much more sophisticated. Both reasons. So now, why I'm showing this picture. In the past, when you are going to use an ERP, you had to go to your office and use the office computer to connect to the ERP. Now, it's device agnostic. It doesn't matter what device you're using. It could be a laptop, it could be a tablet, it could be my smartphone. And because of that, you can use an ERP from anywhere, anytime, whenever you want to use it, okay? So that's the reason I wanted to show this, that it is device agnostic. Now, what is our goal as an implementer? You most probably heard, because you're in this business world for many years, right? Just by looking at your face, I can tell that, right? That we are in the business world for many, many years. And we have heard lots of horror stories about ERP implementation, because they started implementing, then the person who was working, they are no longer there. The person who gave the requirement, they are no longer there, and so on. And that's why we as a company, or not only Velasio, any company like us, we want to make sure the client experience is different. When I say different, meaning that their expectation is right now, it has to be quick, it has to be accurate, it has to be within budget. Okay? And that is our goal. We make sure that client experience is like it's simple, so the client's journey is simple. In the past, ERP implementation team used to come, they used to say, you have to do this way, this way, this way. Now the world says, no, I'm smart enough. I know what to do. You just tell me what this tool does. That's it. Okay? So it depends on the business, depends on the community, depends on the workforce. We have to make it simple so the client's journey is simple. To do that, we have to always come up with fresh ideas, not only by us, as a team with the client, with the fresh ideas. Okay? Just like the technology is changing, ERP implementation is changing very, very rapidly. Very, very rapidly. And if we are not innovative, somebody else will take our job. And one other thing is that at not many years back, if you ask me 20 years back, what used to happen? A consultant would come and they would get some requirement that this is what you do, and they used to set up the system and they would say that now you do this way. You click this button, if it was Windows environment, right? You click this button, this is how you do it. Okay? Environment is very different now. Within the same company, one person will do one way, another person will do the same thing in a different way. One main reason, what device they're using, right? Another reason is that their job is now almost everyone doing multitasking. In the past, if somebody was entering sales order, that's their job. Things are changing, specifically smaller companies. In the large company, it is still old-fashioned. But if you go to a smaller company, I'm pretty sure you have experience with the smaller company, one person is putting so many hats and they want to do their job in a different way. And you have to be very innovative. Because of that, as a consultant, we have to understand that business, that environment, what is their perspective, what are they trying to do, okay? How they can achieve their ultimate goal within a short time, within their budget, okay? Those are our challenge. And we are doing a pretty good job, I think. So this is the thing that I always mention, that an ERP software is not an installation, it's an implementation. Installation meaning that you take your iPhone or any smartphone, you say, okay, I'm going to go through a new airline, which is United Air, okay, and I want to just download their app, and I just install it, and then I just use it. Similarly, we use all Microsoft Word or Excel. Excel might be you get some training, but many times we don't even get some training. We just install it and then we use it. For ERP, we just cannot do it. That's why it's an implementation. Okay? I just mentioned that world is changing. There is a way just to say how it works. People can figure it out, but that's not what I'm going to discuss. I'm going to discuss the traditional implementation methodology, because that still works for mid-sized to larger companies, and what it is. So it has to go through some phases, and if we don't go through those phases, then you'll see those horror stories that somebody tried to do something and then they were not successful. I'm going to talk about those phases of implementation. So there are practically five phases of an implementation. The very first one, what we call transition phase. What happens? First, a company decides what ERP they are going to implement. And then, because when they decide what ERP they're going to implement, they usually work with the sales team, right? But once the sales team is done selling that, it transitions to the consulting team. In my case, that's my team. Even though these days, we get very heavily involved even before a sales occurs, because we make sure that the software that we're selling is really, really suitable for that company. Okay? Otherwise, it doesn't make sense. So that's the transition phase. And what happens there, we do a kickoff with the customer, internal kickoff with the customer kickoff. We create something we call project charter, that what are we going to do? Because one thing is extremely important for any implementation, defining the scope. What do I mean by defining the scope? If you build a house, if you don't have a design, you can't build the house. Same thing with an ERP implementation. With same ERP, you can do so many things, but you have to create a scope. You have to think what exactly you want to implement. And then you go from there. So to do that, we need a team, and that team is from the consulting firm, like Velasio, and from the client, from the customer, and we identify three people from there. As a whole, it's a team. Then goes to the planning and requirements gathering phase. I'll discuss a little bit more for each of those phases, but at a high level, planning and requirements gathering phase means that we, as a consultant, what we do? We ask some question, we give some questionnaire, the client gives us those answers, then we talk to them, and we make sure we understand what is the requirement. That's the requirement gathering. Then comes the build phase. Build phase is that we take that Microsoft Dynamics Business Central database, fresh, and we set it up according to the requirements. Many cases, the standard software may not do everything that a company needs. In that case, we said, is there any add-on from another software vendor? If there is, we bring that. And if there is nothing like that, then we have developers. Myself, I'm also a developer. And we do some what we call customization, and we complete that gap, right? And then that is the build phase. After the build phase is the deploy phase, which is practically giving the training. After the training, what happens? There are some conference room pilot happens. That means they're testing, practicing. And finally, we go live, and the transition happens from our consulting team to the support team. Okay, and now the company is implementing, using the new ERP they just implemented. So that's on a very high level. So I'll go through little breakdown of each of those. So transition and plan. Very first thing, internal kickoff happens because sales team tells the consulting team what did they sell, why they gave that solution. We create a project charter, and during the project charter, creating the project charter is basically saying that scope, right? And what are the things, what are the constraints there? What are the risks there? And don't worry about identifying the risk. You have to identify what are the risks. If you don't know what are the risks, you'll never be able to solve the risk. For example, when you drive a car, driving a car is risky. And how do we resolve that situation? There's a brake. We put seatbelt, there are airbag, those things, right? Because we identified those risks, that's why there is a solution. Similarly, when you implement an ERP, very at the very beginning, as a consultant and as a team, the whole team tries to identify what are the risks. Let me give you some risk example. That, say, in the team, there's a person who is going to leave the company in 3 months. Do you want to have that person in that team? Most probably not, because whatever that person is going to learn, it's going to go away. So how do you mitigate? You just don't put that person. Other risk could be some business are cyclical, meaning, say, a store, they have a high sale volume during Thanksgiving, during Christmas. You don't want to implement an ERP during that time frame, right? So every business have some low time and high time. So you identify those things. And there are constraints. Like the team, some of them will have vacation, right? Those are constraints. You have to work with those vacation time, non-working time, and things like that, okay? So identifying those constraints, risks, goes into the project charter. And then happens a kickoff. And as I mentioned earlier, then we go through this detailed functional requirements gathering. And infrastructure planning I mentioned here, the next thing, if for some reason customer still wants to implement their ERP on their on-prem, but this is now changing, that infrastructure planning is almost going away because things are now happening in the cloud. Customer doesn't have to worry about, they don't have to buy the hardware, they don't have to maintain the hardware, things like that. And then comes the data migration planning. Most of the companies may be using an older ERP, smaller company may be using multiple spreadsheets, right? Or an Access database or something like that if it's a smaller company. If it's an old, larger company, they're just using another ERP. So they're using those data, they do not want to lose the data, so there has to be a plan how to migrate that data, and meaningful migration. There is always a question that how much data we should migrate and what data I should migrate, okay? There's a rule of thumb. If the data you are not going to use after 3 months, don't bring it. There's no point to bring those data. It sounds beautiful that, oh, I'll bring every data, but it just costs you more, and then you don't use it. And another thing is, what is the guarantee that the old data is very good? If it's bad data, you start with bad information. So ideally, what we suggest that in the data migration planning, that bring the minimum that you need. Like I need to bring my customers, I need to bring my vendors. If you have inventory, I need to bring my items and their inventory. Okay, and our customers' balance, vendor balance, inventory balance, those kind of things. Okay? So those are the data migration planning. And obviously, if there are customization requirements, then we gather the detailed requirements for the customization. Okay, and in the build phase, I use the word install NAV. But you know now that NAV is now Dynamics 365 PC. And if it's in the cloud, it's extremely simple. I remember many years ago, just to install the software, we used to use this many disks. And if I don't put those disks in the right order, right, after 2 days, redo it. Now this installation is sometimes a couple of hours, sometimes less than an hour, okay? Installation is not a big deal anymore. But we still have to do that. We have to populate the data, okay? we need to make sure the requirements are right. Then we have to do the setups of the database, right? And if there's any development requirement, development will be done. And one thing I would like to encourage all of you, if you do implement a new ERP, try to avoid customization as much as possible. Because the new ERPs have a lot of features so that customization is not that much required anymore. Another thing is Microsoft or Oracle or SAP, they're investing millions and billions of dollars to enhance their softwares. So what you develop today, we should go through a life cycle of 2 years, 3 years before it gets solid. Most probably, those software vendors will add that feature within the time frame. But there are some cases you don't have any choice. You have to have it. Then you do that development. And once the developments are done, the database is set up, then comes the deploy phase, what we call key user training. We don't train all 100 users in the company. That core team that I mentioned, they're the one gets trained. And they're the ones going to test the system to make sure it fulfills their requirement. They can run their business. And while they're testing, they also create something we call process document. Because how this ERP is going to work, because every business steps are different. There is no cookie cutter process document for every company. So every business is different. So once they learn, once they start practicing, testing, they also create their own process document. And that process document is not static. It's going to change over the months, over the years, because their business will change, their process will change. If people are familiar with lean process, you know that every process will change within a short time. Depends on how quickly you want to change. But process is not static. There will be changes. So that means the process document will change. And that will stay there as their guideline. And there are some security training goes on, because we, as a consultant, just train the company administrator how to set up the security, and they will then set up the security for the server company. After the training, people may say that, okay, I see there are 700 reports in this ERP, but I need my report this way. So again comes customization. We can modify those reports or add reports, and now these days Power BI and other reporting tools, many companies try to build their own reports whatever way they want. And once the system is tested, we do a readiness assessment. A readiness assessment is practically making sure everybody is comfortable with the system. Okay? If you ask me this question in 2005, I used to give an exam to the team users. And what I found out very quickly, that they can pass, that does not mean they're ready. Rather, asking the right question, whether they're ready, they always give the right answer. Because if they're not ready, they're going to suffer. So the users are always honest. They say the right thing. In fact, sometimes they are more conservative. Even if they're ready, they may say that, you know what, I need 2 more days extra to practice and test. But with the test that we used to do a long time back, does not really work. But the readiness assessment is extremely important, that you have to make sure that all functional areas, users are ready. And then what happens? Then this core team with those process documents that they created, they train rest of the team, I mean rest of the company users. After that, finally, we make a decision whether we can go live or not, go no-go decision. And on a fine, typically Monday, we flip the switch, we again do a data conversion for the latest and with the latest and greatest data, and then company goes live with the new software. That's a typical, you can say, waterfall methodology for an implementation. Few things I'd like to suggest. If you are thinking of implementing ERP, do not make your project too big. You may have lots of requirements. Try to do it in phases. In that way, you will get your value quickly, and then you will learn the software quicker. People will adopt the software quicker instead of trying to do too many things. Okay? And I think my time is over, right?
Yes,
so I better stop here. Any question?
Do you have a change management partner that you use at all in history?
Okay. So, in fact, we can handle the change management. Okay? We suggest how to handle the change management because that's always a challenge for any company. Specifically, the people who are working with the company for 30 years and they're very comfortable with what they're doing, and when there's a change, there is always a challenge. As a consultant, we suggest how to handle those situations. Any other questions? Okay, I'm pretty sure everybody wants to go home. Okay?
Thank you, Mark.
And if you have